Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them back up to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. Right back to the same chapter where we were this morning. You recall that Brother Chuck read for us this morning for our scripture reading, verses 3 through 6. And tonight we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Here's what the Bible says. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for everybody that's here tonight, for this another opportunity that you've given us to come to this place and open this book. Thank you for the singing that we've done, the testimonies that we've heard, the fellowship that we've enjoyed, the opportunity to give. And now that we come to this part of the service, I pray that you'd help us clear our minds of everything that might be on them tonight, things that we face next week, tomorrow, and maybe worries and heartaches, and that tonight we could just tune in to the Holy Spirit, that he would have a clear path to deliver the message that he wants each one of us to have tonight. I pray we'd listen not only with our ears, but with our hearts. And Holy Spirit, you could work in our lives and do in our lives what needs to be done. If there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray tonight would be the night they decide to receive Jesus. Of course, in his name we pray. Amen. This morning, and we had a lot of folks that are here tonight that weren't here this morning, so I just want to, by way of review, sort of outline the message that I preached this morning. I did use verses 3 and 4 of this chapter as my text verses this morning. And I first of all made an appeal to those that don't know Christ as their Savior. And I pointed out that everybody, I think every person is born with a thirst for God. Every single person, I think God puts us in our makeup when he made us, when he created us. And you say, well, I wasn't created, I wasn't made, I was born. No, God was in your birth just as much as he was in the creation of Adam and Eve. And when you were born, God put in you a longing for himself. A longing to have a relationship with the one that created you, a longing to have a relationship with the one that gives purpose to your life, a longing to have a relationship with the one that's going to take you when you die, if you're a Christian. And every single person has that in their being, in their makeup, to have that kind of relationship with God. And so I appeal to the lost with verse 3, where it says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Jesus is that well. As he spoke to the woman at Sychar's well from John chapter 4, when he said, whosoever drinketh of this water, pointing to the well that he was sitting on, shall thirst again. And I reminded everybody this morning that the things of the world can't satisfy. I mean, we can chase the things of the world like Solomon did, and we can gather wealth, and we can enjoy pleasure, and we can take in all the things that the world has to offer, but none of those things will satisfy that longing that we have in our heart and soul for a relationship with our Creator, for a relationship with our God. Solomon said it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And you talk to people, if they're honest, after they've chased the things of the world, and they will say the same thing. It's vanity, it's vexation of spirit. It doesn't satisfy, it doesn't fill that hole that I have in my life that only God can fill. And then Jesus went on, he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And this morning I invited everybody that didn't know Christ to come draw from that well, to come drink that water. As it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And come to Christ and come to salvation. And then I spoke to Christians. And I used verse 4, where it says, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. And I said there were four things that every Christian should be about. Number one, praise. It says in that verse, praise him. And we ought to spend our time as Christians praising God. I said number two, prayer, where it says, call upon his name. And we ought to spend our time in prayer. John sent me a neat story this week over on email about two guys that were shipwrecked on an island. And they had no hope, and so what they decided to do was to divide the island in two. One guy would take one side, and the other guy would take the other side. And they agreed between themselves that they would both pray. And so both of them began to pray, and they needed food. And on one side of the island, they both prayed for food, and on one side, or they both prayed, and on one side of the island, a garden sprung up. And one of the guys had all that he wanted to eat. They needed shelter, and so they both prayed. And on the same side of the island that the food appeared, a material blew up on the beach where the man was able to build him a house, build him a shelter. They didn't know how long they were going to be on that island, and so they thought they needed companionship, and so they both prayed. And the next day, another ship wrecked at sea, and a woman came up on that same side of the island. And so one of them had food, shelter, and a wife. But then they figured they needed to be rescued, and so they both prayed, and sure enough, on the one side of the island where there was food, shelter, and a wife, a ship came to rescue those that were on the side of the island. And so that man and his wife got on that ship and started to leave, and God spoke to him and said, "How come you're not taking the other guy with you?" And he said, "Well, he must be a bad guy because you answered none of his prayers. He didn't get no food. He didn't get no shelter. He didn't get a wife. And the ship didn't come to rescue him." And God says, "How do you know I didn't answer his prayers?" And the guy said, "Because he didn't get anything." And God said, "Let me tell you what he prayed for. He prayed that all of your prayers would be answered." And they were. And they were. Now, I thought that was a neat story, because we don't know what people pray for. We know that we have a God that answers prayer. And we know we have not because we ask not. But we ought to pray, and I think it's good. I ought to pray that Brother Chuck's prayers be answered. I ought to pray that Brother Clint's prayers be answered. And I was struck by that story, that that's something I ought to add to my prayer list. That God, you answer the prayers of my folks. Give them what they need. Give them what they ask for. So we ought to be about praise. We ought to be about prayer. I said number three, we ought to be about proclamation, where that verse says, declare his doings among the people. And then I told him, Brother Clint, I looked for another P word to take care of the last phrase where it says, make mention that his name is exalted. And Millie, I thought all afternoon, promises doesn't cover it. So I just said, here's what it is. Make mention of his name. Make mention that his name is exalted. My fourth point was, let's talk about Jesus. Just talk about him. Just talk about him. Wherever you are, at home, at work, at school, wherever you go, talk about Jesus and mention his name. Now, what I want to do, so that's what I preached about this morning. If you want to hear the detail, you can talk to John or Sam. They'll get you a copy of the tape, and you can listen to the whole sermon. But here's what I want to do tonight. I want to back up one verse, and I want to look at verse 2. I want to speak to Christians again tonight, and I want to use verse 2 where the Bible says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And I want to speak to Christians in this regard. In verse 4, the one we talked about this morning, you might say it's what a Christian should be doing on the outside. People can hear you when you praise. Sometimes they can hear you, not all the time, but sometimes they can hear you when you pray. They can hear you when you proclaim, when you exalt God and talk about the things that he's done. When you testify, you do that. And then, of course, if you're talking about Jesus, they can hear you talk about him. And so those are four things that we as Christians should be about in our actions, things that we do. Verse 2, I would put it in another category and say these are things that Christians ought to do on the inside. On the inside. Verse 4 are all activities that, and again, prayer, you can, I know a lot of time we spend in private prayer, but they're all things that people can see as we do them. In verse 2, there's four things mentioned there that most of the time we don't see. They're things that happen on the inside of a Christian. It's the way we feel. It's a confidence that we have in the Lord. And they really, these four things form the foundation for the four things that are mentioned in verse 4. The things that we're going to talk about tonight are the basis or the foundation for our praise and for our prayer and for our proclamation and for talking about Jesus. And so tonight, I want to look at the four things that are mentioned in verse 2 and say again, every Christian should be about these. They're mostly on the inside. They're things that happen that nobody sees, nobody knows about but God, but they form the foundation for the things that other people do see, our praise, our prayer, and so on. Now, before I mention what those four things are, I want you to notice that those four things are like ham in a ham sandwich. Or they're like the cream in an Oreo. Because you say, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. They're sandwiched between two phrases that talk about God being our salvation. If you still have your Bibles, look. In verse 2, it starts off, "Behold, God is my salvation." And then down at the end of the verse, it says, "He also is become my salvation." And so right in, those four things are sandwiched between those two phrases. Two phrases that say that God is our salvation. Let me just remind you tonight, again, I'll get to my four points in just a minute, but let me remind you tonight that salvation is all of God and none of man. Amen? It's all of God and none of man. God did everything that needed to be done. All man has to do is take it. I just want to mention some things tonight. Here's some things that God did for our salvation. First of all, He gave us the Bible. He gave us the Bible so that we can know that we're sinners. The Bible says, without the law, there's no knowledge of sin. And so we have this book so that we can know that we're sinners. We have this book so that we can know that sin has a price, for the wages of sin is death. And then, after we were convinced of God that we were sinners, He took the next step. He sent Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, to die on Calvary, pay the price for our sins. When He said, as He hung on the cross, "It is finished," what He was saying is, no more are there going to be animal sacrifices. No more do they have to bring sacrifice. This is into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. No more. That they were just pictures of what I was going to do on Calvary. It's finished. It's done. The price is paid. Your sin is paid for. God did that. He deals to every person a measure of faith. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God." God gives to every single person. Look, nobody's left out. God doesn't preordain some people to go to hell and others to go to heaven. He gives to every single person enough faith to get saved if they'll exercise it. God did that for us. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to sinners to woo us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to sinners and says in that still, small voice, "You need to get saved. You're a sinner. There's a price for that sin. You need to receive Christ as your Savior." God does that for us. And then He gives us Sunday school teachers and preachers and pastors and junior church workers and parents and grandparents and friends that share the gospel with us, that encourage us to get saved, that talk about what happened to them when they accepted Christ. They cajole us, they exhort us. I mean, I'm sure there's 40 different stories here tonight of who was instrumental in you getting saved. And God puts people like that in our life to talk to us about the gospel. Now, what do I have to do to get saved? I mean, God did all of that. What do I have to do? Like the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" I was reading that story again this week. Here was a guy that was about to kill himself. He wanted to kill himself before somebody else did. Because, you see, back then the law was that if you were, as a jailer, if you were entrusted with a prisoner and that prisoner escaped, it was your life for theirs. And he had two notorious criminals in jail, Paul and Silas. At least the religious establishment thought they were notorious criminals. And they put them in the darkest part of the jail. Their feet and arms, hands were locked in stocks. And midnight, they were singing. I think they were singing, "To God be the glory, great things He had done," just like we sang tonight. And there was an earthquake, and those stocks fell off, and the jail door opened. The earthquake woke up the jailer. He saw the doors open. The Bible says he was about to kill himself. And Paul cried out, "Hey, don't hurt yourself. We're still here. We haven't left." They weren't notorious criminals. Notorious criminals would have fled the scene when the jail doors opened, like Peter did when the angel came and busted him out. No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't a criminal either. But they stayed. And when the jailer was about to do himself harm, Paul said, No, we're still here." And he came in with a light. He said, "What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Same thing that I have to do. The same thing that you have to do. I want you to notice something. That happened almost probably 2,000 years ago, probably a little bit less, 2,000 years ago. But the requirements haven't changed. There's a lot of things that have changed between that time and this time. A lot of things are different in that 2,000 years that have passed. But God hasn't changed. I am the Lord. I change not. And man hasn't changed. He's still a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law hasn't changed. For the wages of sin is death. And Jesus hasn't changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His death on Calvary is still sufficient to pay for sins in the year 2003, just like it was for the Philippian jailer hundreds of years ago. Amen. Faith hasn't changed. Still, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. He still woos like He wooed that Philippian jailer to come, for us to come and receive Christ. What must I do to be saved? The answer is the same today as it was back then. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, that's all you have to do. It's not work. It's not hang on till the end. It's just put your trust in Jesus Christ and to depend on Him and nothing else. And that'll get you that relationship with God that you hunger and thirst after. So, those are the two pieces of bread, the two Oreos that got this, that surround this cream that's in the middle that we're going to talk about tonight. These four things that every Christian should be about on the inside. Here's what they are. Number one, I will trust. I will trust. You ever stop and think about this? Isn't it strange that we can trust God to save us, and then in many, many situations, we who have been saved, we who have put our faith and trust in Christ to get us to heaven, to save us from hell, after we get saved, we say to God, "Okay, thank you. I'll take over from here. I'll take over from here. I can live my life on my own. I'll come to you when I get in trouble, but don't worry about me. I can take care of myself." I was thinking this week about Abraham and Sarah and how most of their life was steps that resulted from them trusting God. God said, "Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees." He picked up Sarah. He had other people that went with him, but Sarah was with him. He picked up and left. And you know, we've studied this on Wednesday night. God didn't tell him where to go. Just said, "Leave. Just start. I'll show you where I want you to get or be when you get there. I'll show you when you get there. Trust. Trust." Told him about a child. Abraham was 100 or 99 and Sarah was 89. Said, "You're going to have a little baby boy." And they both laughed. Said, "Oh, no, we're too old." But they trusted God and that little boy was born. Came to Abraham a few years later and said, "I want you to take Isaac, your son, up. I want you to kill him." You don't read about any argument from Abraham at that point in his life. He said, "Okay." Took a knife, took fire, took wood, took Isaac, went up to the top of the mountain, was ready to offer him, offer him on the altar. I mean, in Abraham's whole life, it was just one step in trust after another. One step in faith, if you want to say it a different way, after another. Just obeying God, trusting God, that God knew what was best, that God was leading him to a place where he wanted him to be, and that God knew what he was doing. And that trust turned into obedience. I thought about that song that we sing sometimes for invitation, Trust and Obey, and it really says the point I want to make in this particular part of my message. When we walk with the Lord, and by the way, that's what we as Christians ought to do. We ought to walk with the Lord. I want to be as much like Enoch as I can. Enoch, when he was 65 years old, said, he walked with God, the Bible says. He walked with God. Every single one of us ought to be walking with God in the light of his word. Huh? What we studied about this morning, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. How can you walk in this world if you're not walking with God according to the light of this word? What a glory he sheds on our way. Hey, listen. You want to see the glory of God? Then you walk with him in the light of this word. You'll see his glory. You'll see his glory. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And the last verse. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, talking about heaven. Or we'll walk by his side in the way. Now, I don't know if the songwriter, this last part of this verse, was talking about in heaven. I think it applies just as much down here as it does up there. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's what I'm talking about. That's what it ought to be on the inside. I mean, nobody can see my trust. You can't tell tonight by looking at me how much I trust God. You can't see the strength of my faith and my trust. But if God is my salvation, then all of us ought to say on the inside, where nobody can see it but God, I will trust. Where you tell me to go, I'll go. What you tell me to do, I'll do. What you tell me to say, I'll say. What you tell me to be, I'll be. My trust is measured by my obedience. You can see what I do, but you cannot see the degree of my obedience. I mean, you can look at my activities and you can say, well, he's walking with God or he's not walking with God, but nobody can see how much I'm trusting God but God. I know, and he knows. I know, and he knows. You can't know. But we as a Christian, when we say, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust, we ought to say like Abraham, okay, you want me to leave, I'll leave. And by the way, if you want me to stay, I'll stay. Sometimes God tells us to stay, and we don't trust him and we leave because we think there's no other way. But I will trust. Then number two, and not be afraid. That's what it says. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The world is becoming a fearful place. When I flew out of Washington, D.C. on Friday, I could see the missiles that were stationed around the airport. Four or five batteries of them. If you saw the paper last week, I saw a picture in the paper last week of a man up on a ladder putting plastic on his house. There were stores last week that couldn't keep duct tape in stock because of all the fear of chemical or biological warfare. People were buying duct tape and plastic sheeting to cover their houses. I was going to call you, Bill, and say, tell you to cover the church, but but people are afraid. People are afraid, they don't know what's going to happen next. Where will the terrorists strike? And we're fearful. I was sitting next to, on the way to Washington, I was sitting next to a Japanese student. He was going back to school in Washington, D.C., and we got to talking. He says, I'm a little bit afraid about flying into Washington. I said, why is that? He said, well, with everything that's going on, aren't you fearful that they're going to shoot the plane down? I said, well, you must be more important than I am because they wouldn't waste anything to shoot me down. I'm not worried. I said, if they shoot us down, I'm not going down, I'm going up. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, and I said, well, I'm on my way to heaven. What about you? He said, oh, no, I'm a Buddhist. I don't even want to talk to you. He turned and looked out the window. But I remember R.G. Lee, the preacher in Memphis, Tennessee, Bellevue Baptist Church down there. He was out speaking somewhere and got on an elevator with a younger, he was up in years, 80, 90 years old. He preached till he was 92, I think. And he got on an elevator with a young person. And when the door shut, it was just the two of them on the elevator. And the guy said, give me your money, I'm going to kill you. And R.G. Lee looked at him and said, you can't scare me with heaven. Can't scare me with heaven. You kill me, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with God. I'm looking forward to that. Like Dick was testifying about the lady he ran into at the convalescent home yesterday. I'm looking forward to heaven. Now, I don't want to go on the next trip unless God wants me to, but I'm looking forward to going. I'm ready to go. So people are afraid. There's folks in our church tonight that have fears for their children. There's folks in our church tonight that have fears about their health. But a Christian, one whose God is their salvation, one who trusts, ought to be able to say on the inside, again, where nobody can see them but God, I will not be afraid. Doesn't matter what the terrorists do next. God is my salvation. I will not be afraid. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. God is my salvation. I will not be afraid. Doesn't matter what tomorrow brings. God is my salvation. I will not be afraid. I read somewhere else, Brother Leonard told me this. He's always telling me facts about the Bible. There's 365 fear nots in the Bible. 365. One for every day. I remember when Jessica was a little kid, she had these flashcards that had the letters of the alphabet, and for every letter, there was a Bible verse or a part of a Bible verse. And I remember W, because I had to learn them as she learned them. And the verse for W is a verse from Psalms. I've read it, but I don't know where it's found, where it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And then number three, for the Lord Jehovah. In my Bible, that word is all capitalized. That's the name for God as the Commander-in-Chief. That's the name for God as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. I was reminded last night by a couple of our ladies that I was getting old. I didn't need to be reminded of that because I know I'm getting old. It seems like I'm tired all the time. Even when I get up in the morning, I'm tired. We were playing a game last night, and I won't mention any names to protect the innocent, but we were paired off, and one of the questions was, what's your partner's hobby? And one of the answers was, Napping. And I thought to myself, that's a good hobby. I'm going to take that hobby up. I want to start napping. I find myself, the older I get, turning more and more to Isaiah chapter 40. I read it again this afternoon where the Bible says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Aren't you glad God never gets tired? He never faints. He never gets weary. But then it goes on. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'm glad I don't have to depend on my strength. I'm glad I don't have to depend on my might. Glad I don't have to depend on my power. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. And as Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I may not be able to do everything that I want, but I can do all things that God wants me to do through the strength that Christ gives me. God is my salvation. I will trust, not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. And then number four, my song. My song. When I read that part of the verse, I thought about Ephesians chapter 5:19, where the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I have a lot of folks tell me, Brother Darrell, that's how you ought to do all your singing, in your heart, to yourself. But I don't listen to them, and I don't get discouraged. I mean, as long as Brother Dick keeps letting me sing in the choir and I'm not ejected, I'm going to keep singing. And as long as God gives me a voice, I'm just going to sing as loud as I can. I believe in making that joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I'm not going to try to throw anybody off. Key Herb was punching me in the ribs tonight. I lost my voice. And he said, lower, lower. I said, I can't go any lower. Lower, lower. But I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm glad I had a mom and dad took me to Sunday school and made me learn all the Sunday school songs. I'm glad I had mom and dad took me to church and made me sing. I can remember my mother twisting my ear, sing, 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 and I sung. And I'll tell you what, a lot of the hymns, I don't need the book because I've sung them so many times I can just sing them from memory. And I love them. And I'm going to keep singing. I'm going to sing in the shower. I'm going to sing when I get by myself. You notice there's a lot of songs in my sermon because I think songs are important. And they lift your spirits. And if God is my salvation, I'm going to trust. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to depend on His strength. And He's going to be my song. Going to be my song. Now again, you can't see those things. You can't see how much I trust. You can't see how much I fear. You can't see how much I depend on Him for strength. And other than the times you hear me bellow, you can't hear my song. You can't. All those things happen on the inside most of the time. And the same thing is true with you. I can't see how much you trust. I can't see how fearful you are. I can't see how much you're depending on God for your strength. Nor can I hear you sing most of the time. But He can. And those are the things. Look, and here's what I mean when I started out tonight. These four things form the foundation for the four things we talked about this morning. If I don't trust God, I have a tough time praising Him. If I'm afraid all the time, what does that say for my prayer life? If He is not my strength, then how can I proclaim Him? And if He's not my song, how can I talk about Him? We can see the four things we talked about this morning, but we can't see the four things we talk about tonight. But they're just as important to a Christian. We ought to be about those four things. Trust, not being afraid, strength, and song, as we are about praise and prayer and proclamation and talking about Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for this instruction from Your Word. Thank You that You are the God of our salvation. And I pray tonight, if there's one person that's here that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, has never received Christ, never has filled that hunger that they have in their soul for a relationship with You, that tonight would be the night they receive Jesus. Tonight would be the night they believe on Him. And I don't care if it's a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. Father, I pray that tonight they would know that their purpose for being here was to hear that God is the God of our salvation. And their purpose for being here was to receive the gift that Jesus purchased for them on Calvary. And so I pray right now, Holy Spirit, in the quietness of this moment, that You deal with that one that's here that doesn't know Christ. You convict them of their sin. You'd show them the Savior. You'd show them their need to come and receive Him this very night, right now. And then, Father, for the Christians that are here, help us to be what we need to be on the inside as well as what we need to be on the outside. Help us to trust You. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to depend on You for strength. help us for you to be our song. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each one of us about whatever area of those four or others that you need to speak to us about tonight, and we'd be obedient and do what you say. Bless the invitation, Father. Help us to do what you call us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.